Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Thank you, Maggie. Good day, Mark.
Just a minute. I got to run to the bathroom. Sure. I'll be right back. Okay.
Yep.
No. Okay. I'm back. Now, just a little joke. We're going to be talking about prostate cancer and the prostate gland today.
Exactly.
And something great for a couple of middle-aged guys to be talking about.
Exactly. All of us worrying about our big prostates and cancer. And prostate cancer is a major problem, second most common cause of cancer in the United States. We know that the incidence of prostate cancer rose dramatically in the 1990s, you know, as a result of PSA testing. This high incidence of prostate cancer has been pretty consistent over the past decade and a half. And not surprisingly, as a lot of guys were told that they had prostate cancer, lots of attention is focused on chemo prevention. Is there something that we can do to reduce this incidence of prostate cancer? The most extensive, I think, sort of initiatives came from the use of 5-alpha reductase inhibitors. The sort of the biggest one there is finasteride. It's an inhibitor of type 2 5-alpha reductase, and it's been demonstrated to be safe and well-tolerated in some big trials looking at BPH. So the question then is, if it isn't particularly helpful in BPH, can we use this in prostate cancer to help reduce cancer? So this is a study, big study, published in the New England Journal of Medicine, 2013, volume 369. It begins on page 603. Again, the question that the authors asked is, does the use of finasteride affect overall mortality or grade-specific survival rates following a diagnosis of prostate cancer? So meaningful patient outcomes. Mark, what did they find?
Yeah, this was a follow-up to the older prostate cancer prevention trial that randomized almost 19,000 men to get either 5 milligrams of finasteride a day or placebo. The median age was 63 years, and they were followed at regular intervals. They had annual PSA tests and DREs. If the PSA was abnormal, they got a biopsy. And they graded the cancer as either low grade, which is a Gleason score of 2 to 6, or high grade, which is a score of 7 to 10. The first study published about 5 or 6 years ago found that the finasteride group had fewer tumors. They had a 24% relative reduction in the likelihood of being diagnosed with prostate cancer, which is good because that helps them avoid unnecessary treatment. But it increased the risk of high-grade prostate tumors by 27%. So fewer cancers, more high-grade cancers. So it was felt to be kind of a wash and not something that was widely adopted. So they kept following these patients through 2009 and looked at overall survival and survival after a diagnosis of prostate cancer. They basically established the cause of death looking at death certificates and looking at Social Security death index and ways like that. And what they found was that it continued to be the case that men who got the finasteride were less likely to be given a diagnosis of prostate cancer, about 30% less likely. High-grade tumors were a little more common in the finasteride group, 3.5% versus 3.0% of the group was diagnosed with one, but that's a number needed to harm of about 200. There was, most importantly, though, no difference in all-cause mortality between the two groups. 15-year survival rates were identical between the two groups. They couldn't get a good sense or reliable cause of death, so they weren't able to report prostate cancer-specific mortality, but overall mortality wasn't affected. So, you know, I think the couple ways to think about this are, if you are a man, 50, 60 years old, and you want to live longer, this isn't going to do it for you. If you want to reduce the chance that you're going to be diagnosed with prostate cancer, and you're somebody who has chosen to go through regular PSA tests, then the benefit here is you're less likely to get overdiagnosed. We know that most of the cancers diagnosed with PSA never would have harmed the person being diagnosed with that cancer. So if they're on the finasteride, at least they'd have a less risk of that kind of an overdiagnosed cancer. But that's probably the most positive spin I can put on that. The risk of the higher grade cancers wasn't as high as it was initially seen, so that's somewhat less of a concern.
So, Mark, an important study and obviously an important disease. Are there things in the way the study that is designed that might lead us to believe that had they done something different, we would have seen an effect? I mean, they did look at 19,000 men, you know, the right age. They got 5 milligrams of finasteride. For example, did they look for too short a period of time? If they went to 10 milligrams, might they have seen something? And does this sort of put this issue to rest now?
Yeah, I mean, I think it really puts it to rest for me. I mean, I wouldn't recommend this to one of my patients because it doesn't reduce mortality. There are, you know, like any drug, some potential side effects. This was the usual dose. This was a long time to follow these patients, up to 15 years. So plenty of time to see a treatment benefit if there was going to be one. And I think large enough with almost 20,000 patients that it's powered, you know, to find mortality benefit if there was going to be one.
You know, if I could ask the listeners to indulge in one cynical comment on my part, it does seem to me that finasteride, since its conception or discovery, has been a drug in search of a disease.
Yeah, in fact, I use it in my class. I was just teaching clinical trials to students here at University of Georgia, and one of the slides I use is from one of the earlier finasteride trials that shows that it worked great at improving urinary flow rates. It didn't do anything about the number of times men had to get up in the middle of the night and pee, which is, of course, the patient-oriented outcome. So at least right. In the study that we
used. And correct me if I'm wrong, it wasn't it initially marketed for baldness?
I can't remember if the prostate indication came first or the baldness indication came first. I think the prostate first and then baldness, but I could be wrong. I don't know.
Okay. Anyways, it's been around. We should look at its effect on fingernail growth or something.
Yeah, who knows?
Mark, talk to you again next week.
All right.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.